Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about mental health, we talk about what it actually feels like to carry life. Because the truth is, a lot of people are functioning, but they're not okay. They're showing up, taking care of everyone else, holding everything together, and nobody's asking who's holding you. And clarity, the moment where everything clicks, that can change your entire life. God doesn't want you living overwhelmed, disconnected, and running on empty. He calls you into that peace, He calls you into that clarity. Into truth. So today we're talking about what it actually takes to get there. Today's guest is Fantima Barnes. She's a licensed therapist and clarity expert, helping people finally understand what's really going on inside of their lives. Fantima, welcome to the hot seat. I launch everybody from the elevator pitch. Tell me who you are, what do you do, and what makes you special?
All right. So who I am a licensed clinical social worker. I have over 25 years of experience providing therapy and social work services. I'm licensed in three states right now. I'm currently living in North Carolina, and the services that I provide are individual therapy, couples therapy. I also do speaking and training. I'm a caregiver advocate, so I do a lot of speaking and training around caregiver support, self-care, stress management. I also work with organizations in terms of helping them with their staff, provide burnout prevention. And I do a lot of work in terms of consulting with private practice owners and therapists and caregivers.
So you work with a lot of people every day. That's
Definitely.
amazing. What are these people? What are they actually struggling with that they're not saying out loud?
A lot of them, in particular, I work really closely with women. And a lot of them are carrying a lot of different things on their shoulders. They're wearing a lot of different hats and they're suffering in silence. They're not talking about all of the stress that they're dealing with and all the roles that they have to deal with on a daily basis. They're taking care of their loved ones, they're raising children, they're managing jobs and big responsibilities, and they're not finding time to take care of themselves. They're at the bottom of their own priority list. And so they're really struggling with how to show up for themselves.
That makes a lot of sense. What does it look like when someone is, functioning, but they're not okay?
They do what I call surviving instead of thriving. So they're just going through their day-to-day motions. They wake up, it's about what everybody else needs, and then they go to sleep, and then it's rinse, repeat.
Caregivers carry a lot too. What is something that people don't understand about that role?
That it really shouldn't be one person's responsibility. Caregiving is really about managing the loved ones' finances, their appointments, connecting them to resources, making a lot of important decisions for them, holding their emotions. And it also involves, a lot of times a role shift where you might be taking care of a parent, for example, and they become the child. And that's a completely different shift for you, or taking care of a spouse, which I'm doing right now. My husband just had surgery on Monday. And so seeing that person originally in this strong, independent role, and now you have to take care of them, it's also a mental shift for you that a lot of people are not really ready for.
And then I think, everybody kind of gets in that rut of, truly just kind of ignoring their own needs because they're so. In my experience, what I see a lot of people do is that's kind of the excuse. If I take care of everybody else, I never really have to look inside myself. And I think that we see that more in women because women want to, we're kind of the last to want to face us, right? Like we see everything else going on. So I kind of see that as an excuse, but at the same time, I think it's both of us. It's men and women. Why do you think we're just ignoring our needs for so long?
I think a lot of times we don't want to burden other people around us. And we also get these messages that if we're the strong one, if we're the one that's getting the crisis, if we're the resourceful one, then it falls on our shoulders and we just have to do it. We've been told for so long that, oh, you're strong, you're the one that everybody goes to, right? And it started at some point to seem like it was a compliment, and then it shifted to like, no, I don't want this title. I don't want to own this because I want to be soft and pink at some point, right?
I love that. What is the breaking point you see? Is there like a consistent breaking point that you're seeing over and over?
I definitely see it starting out with people's physical health declining. They'll start to come into the doctor because they're having all these ailments, but it's really about the mental load and the emotional load that is taking. It's just showing up physically for them.
I the body keeps the score, and I think,
Exactly.
that's an important message, especially for listeners, is that so many times, Fantima, people are waiting for that big event. Like you wait for the heart attack or you wait for the stroke to finally realize, oh, like what I eat matters. Moving my body matters. You don't have to wait for that. But you also talk about aha moments. What actually creates those?
A lot of times when I'm working with someone, I'm kind of like a mirror being held up to them. They'll say something and then I'll reflect on it with them. They're like, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. What is something that people believe about themselves that just is not true?
That they're not good enough. That's the number one thing I hear. And it comes out in different ways. They don't actually say it that way. But that's one of the aha moments that I hope people have is that they'll say something to me and I'll paraphrase it and I'll say, this is what it sounds like to me, that you're not good enough or you don't deserve XYZ.
And that's, I mean, how do you help them change that framework?
We do a lot of self-esteem work, a lot of self-awareness work. And a lot of times it really boils down to trauma that they may have experienced, even from childhood, and helping them piece those things together and showing them that because you went through these things, this is how you're showing up in your everyday life.
What is your experience, Fantima? Because I feel like you do see a lot of what's happening. You can see people where they are in their pain points, which says to me that you've probably experienced that. So what is your story of, what did you go through to be able to be this person? Because I think a lot of people don't understand what we go through is how we can get into the role of helping other people. Like that's how I can see your pain because I was in it.
Exactly. And my journey actually started when I was a teenager. I didn't realize it until I was an adult that someone had pointed out to me that you were a caregiver when you were a teenager. When I was 14, I had my first job and I was helping my mom with finances. I was buying groceries. I was babysitting my younger siblings, but I was also responsible for taking care of my older siblings because they were constantly getting in trouble and my mom wanted me to watch them. Right? And so she gave me all these adult responsibilities, but when it was time for me to do age appropriate things, like go to a party at my high school or hang out with my friends, the answer was no. But I had to always be available for these adult things, but I couldn't do teenager age appropriate things. And then over time, the responsibility shifted, and I was taking care of my mom because of her physical health needs and, aging, and she's not known to be able to deal with technology. So I had to help with those things as well. And so over time, I was still a caregiver, but the caregiving responsibility shifted and it became more intense as she got older and her health issues started to get worsened. And so this is something that I'm really passionate about because I'm living it now, but I see it so much in a lot of the clients that I work with, and also in my friend group as well. Everyone is talking about all of these responsibilities that they have to carry and feeling like they have to carry it alone and that they don't have anyone that they can go to for support.
Not even just like having that support or not doing it alone. How did you get through those stages of like resentment? Because that is such a natural human emotion, and when you're carrying the world of everything, like you're gonna get a little pissed off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there was times when I was resentful towards my mom for not allowing me to do things that I should have been doing as a teenager. There was times when I was resentful towards my siblings for not helping out as much, especially because I moved over 500 miles away. And the point of it was to get my mom to move with me so we could be in the same household, but she didn't want to do that. So I'm caregiving from 500 miles away while I have siblings living close to her. So there was a lot of resentment for that as well. And it was points where I was like, I don't even have time to be mad because I just have to get things done.
What has been your
But it was a
process?
lot of, for me, having a therapist. Having a therapist for myself was crucial. Realizing that sometimes you can't really go to loved ones. They might have some helpful things that they want to be able to do and say for you, but sometimes they don't really know the right thing to say, and they could kind of make things worse without realizing it. And so it's good to have a professional to talk to. And so one of the things that's really helped me was looking at it in terms of a support system, having multiple people in my life that meet different needs. So I have a therapist for some things. I have my husband for some things. I have friends for certain things. So I'm not putting the burden on just one person to be my everything.
I think that's important too. I think that's an important message for the listeners to get across as well. Especially when it comes to like kind of going to family, because they're kind of stuck in their own stuff. And if you are on this, upward level of growth and setting goals and wanting to improve, a lot of people around us are not going to be the people that do that. And so it's better for them if they stay at this level, they keep you at this level because it's comfortable for everybody. So I would say finding those outside resources is very important for sure.
Absolutely.
Where do you see people getting stuck in their own thinking?
I think it boils down to a lot of myths that we take on. Sometimes it's internal, sometimes it comes from society, sometimes it even comes from our family. But there's these myths like, because I'm the good daughter, I have to take care of my parents, or because I'm the responsible one, everything falls on my shoulders. Or it could even be as simple as, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done right. So I have to do it myself.
That part, even as a mom, I catch myself like, the kids want to help with stuff, and I'm just like, I need to just do it, right? I need to just do it myself. Where, how are they ever going to learn if I can't step back from that? But what does stress actually look like when it's been building for years?
It can look like emotional signs like anger, frustration, irritability, like you mentioned before, resentment. It could also look like guilt, right? Feeling bad about saying no for things, right? Or having to not be able to show up in a certain way, right? But it could also be physical signs as well, like stomach aches, headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic pain issues. Like for myself, I suffer from fibromyalgia. And so I get physical pains of just random parts of my body, and it's stress related.
I see that. Again, body keeps the score. And so many people are quick to just run to the doctor for that physical fix instead of like recognizing, how am I treating myself? What's my sleep like? When's the last time I went outside and got fresh air? Am I drinking water? Very simple things. How do you see relationships? How are they starting to break down when someone is overwhelmed? What is happening?
Well, I'll talk about it from what I experienced in my marriage. There was a point where I had to make really tough decisions about my caregiving with my mom, where she was in the hospital for an emergency. And at the same time, my husband got a call that his sister passed away on his birthday. And she was in New York. My mom was in New York, and his sister was living in Virginia at the time. And I had to make the decision, where am I going to show up? And I ultimately made the decision to be with my mom in the hospital because I didn't know if that would be the last time that I would see him. And it put a big strain on my relationship. I actually almost ended my relationship because he really wanted me to be there for him in his grieving. And so we wound up working through it, but it was extremely stressful. And he had to come to the understanding that I needed to be there for my mom, but I still wanted to be able to support him as well. But I just physically couldn't be in two places at the same time.
No, that is tough. What is a shift right now that someone can make today, to feel even just a little bit more in control?
Definitely being open about what's going on, not keeping it all in and thinking I can handle it. I'm the strong one, so I don't need to go to anybody else. I got this. You need to be able to talk about what's going on. And that's really what saved my relationship, was finally opening up to my husband and saying, this is too much for me. I can't handle all of this on my own. And so he was able to be able to provide some support for me as well, while I was supporting him during his grieving, because I was just kind of going through everything as if I was fine, and it was showing that I wasn't fine. And so just being able to talk about what's going on and asking for support, even if it's something as simple as, can you take care of this thing so I can get a couple hours of sleep?
Talk to me about emotional clarity. What does that actually feel like?
Say that again.
Emotional clarity. What does that actually feel like?
It's really about understanding what the underneath emotion is, what the underlying emotion is. So, for example, someone might be feeling guilt about something, and I do a lot of work with people around guilt. They might be feeling guilt about something, but I help them peel back the layers and recognize that Guilt is probably not the appropriate emotion, because when you're guilty about something, it's because one of two things have happened. You've intentionally caused harm, and you're responsible for doing harm. And so, if one of those things is a no, then it's probably not guilt that you should be feeling. It's probably something else, like maybe some sadness, grief, could even be frustration, could be anxiety, fear. But guilt wouldn't be the appropriate emotion if you are not responsible for causing harm and you did not intend to cause harm.
What is that makes a lot of sense. What is something that people think is normal that's actually not healthy?
I think feeling like they can't go to other people because they don't want to burden them. I hear that so much. Like, oh, my family or my friends, they have their own problems. I don't want to bother them. But what I found is that those people that they don't want to bother, they welcome that, because sometimes people want to get an escape from their own issues. So they're willing to help someone else with their stuff. So they're like, tell me what's going on so I can help you.
What would you say to the person listening right now who just feels completely drained and done?
I would say number one is take care of your basic needs. That's where you have to start. Sleep, eat, drink water.
I love
Start
that.
with the basics.
And take a shower. Like,
Yes.
take a shower, get outside. I mean, all of those things. It's just so basic and it's so simple, and we just take it for granted, and we don't understand that even just being present in the very simple things just shifts everything. It's so,
Absolutely.
we've been given such a beautiful gift with simple, free stuff everywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So my last question for you, if everything clicks for you this year, what is the message, Fantima, that you really want to be known for?
I would want to be known for just being a caregiver advocate and standing up for all the caregivers out there, whether you do it unpaid, which about 60% of people actually do it unpaid, or whether you do it professionally in your career. Caregivers deserve care too, and that's what I want the message to be.
I love that. I love that. How can people get resourced with you? Where can they follow you? Where can they find you?
So all of my handles on social media are the same. It's at Fantima Barnes. So that's F like Fred, A-N-T-E-E-M-A, B like boy, A-R-N-E-S.
Perfect. So this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you help people. It's that you're helping them see. You take the things that feel overwhelming, that feel confusing, you take the stuff that feels heavy, and you're willing to bring a different perspective and a level of clarity to that. You're helping people to understand themselves in a way they probably never have before. And I think that makes an incredible shift in the world. And I think that's what makes you special. To everyone listening, you guys don't have to carry everything alone. She said it. You don't have to stay confused. You don't have to stay overwhelmed. At some point, you have to stop ignoring yourself. God did not create you to live exhausted and disconnected from your own life. You're allowed to pause. You're allowed to get clear. You're allowed to feel better. And please remember, your mess is your message. Everybody has a story. It belongs in the hot seat. Even the overwhelm, even the stress, even the parts of your life that feel really heavy, you guys, that is where your growth starts. And if this episode spoke to you, please share it out so that Fantima's message can get out to someone else that needs it. You know, people that she doesn't know that she'll never be able to access without your help. So make sure you share this out. Leave a review. Stars are cute, but if you type some words in there, that's how we move up on the algorithm. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Fantima, thank you so much for your time. I love your message. Your journey is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.